Hello, and welcome to USMLE Connection, a podcast designed to keep you in the know about all things USMLE. I'm Suzanne McElhenney, Director of Program Management for USMLE. In today's episode, we'll hear an update about the Step 2 Clinical Skills Exam, or Step 2 CS, which was temporarily suspended in the spring due to the COVID-19 outbreak and the need to follow public health guidelines. We're here today with David Johnson, Chief Assessment Officer at the Federation of State Medical Boards, and Dr. Chris Fedock, the Executive Director for the Clinical Skills Evaluation Collaboration, or CSEC, which administers the USMLE Step 2 CS. Let's get started. Chris and Dave, thank you so much for joining me today.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
The USMLE program suspended test administrations for Step 2 CS in March and then extended that suspension for approximately 18 months due to COVID-19. In that announcement, you mentioned work charting the future of clinical skills. Can you tell us more about that? What's happening now?
Certainly, Suzanne. The decision to suspend the exams administration was a precautionary step because we believe that it's important to protect the health of both examinees and test center staff during the pandemic. So what hasn't changed is our commitment to the valid and standardized assessment of clinical skills. I mean, those measures of performance are highly valued by state medical boards, which is why this exam serves such a vital role in medical licensure throughout the United States. And in the certification of international medical graduates. Now, as some of our listeners may know, USMLE is co-sponsored by the Federation of State Medical Boards and NBME. Now, NBME collaborates also with the Educational Commission for Foreign Medical Graduates, ECFMG, and this is on the Clinical Skills Evaluation Collaboration. ECFMG itself serves as the registering entity for international medical graduates for USMLE and certifies IMGs who participate in the National Medical Residency Match Program. And over the summer, our organizations used the time to gather fresh input from, I would say, a very wide range of stakeholders. And we accomplished this through some focus groups and some fairly extensive surveying. And our aim was to gather some at least initial community feedback from the educational, regulatory, and clinical settings to help inform the exam's future development.
Thanks, Dave. If I recall correctly, those stakeholders included groups such as state board members, faculty at medical schools, medical students and residents, international medical graduates, and residency program directors. Could you tell us what's being done with the insights that were collected?
Sure, Suzanne. You know, the feedback from each of those groups you mentioned, as well as many others, is being incorporated into USMLE's vision and strategy for performance-based assessment. Overall, the USMLE has adopted a two-pronged strategy for clinical skills assessment, targeting both short and longer-term changes. You know, first and foremost, our immediate priority is to relaunch a modified Step 2 CS exam as soon as possible, and this will remain the USMLE focus at this time. But we've also considered a second and separate effort that really involves an iterative, multi-year strategy to continue to enhance clinical skills assessment. You know, this two-pronged strategy continues to prioritize that immediate goal of relaunching Step 2 CS. And in doing so, you know, we aim to retain what stakeholders have told us are really the most valued aspects of the prior Step 2 CS exam, while addressing those concerns that have been mentioned wherever feasible. You know, and when we think about those valued aspects, the exam's reliable scoring, the standardization of standardized patient performances across sites, the skill sets being assessed and how relevant they are to clinical practice, as well as the professional and smooth operations of test administration. Stakeholders really felt that these elements were serving both the licensing boards and the educational community well.
That's really helpful to know. So what was identified as not working as well?
Well, I'm happy to take this one, Chris. The community feedback that we received reinforced some of the already understood challenges with the past format, things that we were aware of. For instance, the limited number of test sites that meant many examinees did have to travel away from home. This is especially impactful for international medical graduates who may be traveling to a test site from outside the country to test at one of the six clinical skills test sites located across the United States. Other challenges included the cost of the exam and some perceptions of artificial nature of the standardized patient interaction and the patient note, as well as admittedly the limited feedback that was provided to examinees and scoring. Those were the things that came up that, frankly, we were not surprised to hear about.
Thanks, Dave. Chris, can you tell us more about the short-term relaunch of a modified clinical skills exam? How much change could happen for an assessment like this one? And also, when do you think administrations will begin?
Those are excellent questions, Suzanne. And I know many in the medical education and regulatory communities have similar questions. So let's start with what's not changing. First, the exam will continue to be focused on assessing U.S. and foreign-trained physicians who are entering supervised practice. And this remains our main examinee population. Second, it will continue to assess those specific subcompetencies within the USMLE physician tasks of communication and patient care. As far as what will be different with the next exam, overall, we believe the modified assessment will be delivered through a remote online delivery platform, with examinees interacting with standardized patients over a video. This will provide a safe and convenient platform that promotes both examinee and staff safety. As Dave mentioned before, these were critical considerations when we suspended the exam during the COVID-19 pandemic. And this platform will eliminate the prior in-person contact between examinees and standardized patients. As you mentioned, the short-term relaunch really is our immediate priority, and the rework of the prior exam using a computer-based platform and standardized patients will enable the USMLE to meet its mission, which is serving the state medical boards. As to the timeline, we are currently busy with design work, so we are not ready to announce the implementation date yet. While we want to relaunch the modified examination as soon as possible, we are also sensitive to external considerations. The exam has impacts on residency match timelines, school curricula calendars, and temporary eligibility policy changes that are currently in effect for both Step 3 and ECFMG certification. Ultimately, we strive to relaunch the exam at a time that balances these many factors.
Going back for a moment to your information gathering this summer, was there any discussion about the continued need for the exam? And if so, what are the important competencies that should be assessed?
Suzanne, I'm glad you asked that question, because we did ask stakeholders to indicate their level of agreement regarding whether or not it's important to assess if an examinee demonstrates specific skills when compared to a national standard in deciding whether to grant a license to practice medicine. And interestingly enough, there was a very broad agreement among all the stakeholder groups that this type of an assessment is relevant and important. As to your second question about competencies, the key priorities that were identified really focused on some basics, fundamentals. Things such as, first and foremost, can an examinee conduct an effective clinical interview? Meaning, can they obtain the right information? Second, can they communicate that information effectively to patients or other members of the healthcare team? And then finally, can they reason effectively so that they're able to take the most appropriate steps in patient care? So it was very interesting. See, it really comes down to obtaining the right information, communicating it effectively, and then reasoning effectively with that information that they've obtained.
Thank you for that. Dave or Chris, any final thoughts?
Yes, Suzanne, just a few. I hope everyone understands how much we appreciate the time and effort of the many community members who have provided us feedback over the past several months. As we've discussed, this information is informing the design of both the relaunch of the exam, as well as our future efforts, in which we'll continue to enhance the measurement of those essential communication and patient care skills. As we build upon the lessons we have learned, we still have more questions that have left to be answered. For example, we are conducting a practice analysis right now. We've sent a survey out to first-year residents and residency program directors, because as we consider the design of the modified exam, we're seeking additional information to some key questions, such as what are the core activities of interns, and what is the level of skill expected for residents who are beginning supervised practice. Last, as the design phase proceeds, and we're committed to providing timely updates to examinees and stakeholders as we decide on, more details about the relaunched exam.
Suzanne, I want to echo what Chris just said. While the exam is temporarily suspended, we will continue to provide updates as meaningful new information becomes available, including when the exam administration will begin. Obviously, a question on the minds of many at this time. We expect to be able to share more information on the timeline for relaunching Step 2 CS early in 2021. So look for future updates by checking the USMLE website and following us on social media. And the Federation, on its part, will continue to keep state medical boards apprised of developments with the exam. We'll be offering guidance for how these changes to Step 2 clinical skills can be smoothly incorporated into the licensing process. And the ECFMG will also continue to provide updates for international medical graduates on ECFMG certification requirements.
Dave and Chris, thank you so much for coming on USMLE Connection to share more about clinical skills assessment with our listeners. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you, Suzanne.